Okay, so in a past life, I worked for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a social media manager. It was a really, really cool time. No, it was not the Tom Brady years. As a matter of fact, the day that I started the new job that I went to is the day that I turned to my left, looked at a television set, and saw that Tom Brady was signing with the Buccaneers. So, nope, not that cool. I was peak Jameis Winston years. Got the front end of Ndamukong Suh, Mike Evans, obviously. A roster that had a lot of talent, they just needed a quarterback to put it together. And one other piece of the puzzle that they needed was a defensive end outside linebacker. And they got it in the offseason with Jason Pierre-Paul. So I'll say a part of my job during that time was anytime we had a signing or we had, someone new come in, social media, you got to go get some content for when that happens. So knew that Jason was coming in the afternoon, so I was kind of prepping myself. I was doing my background research. What can I say to him that would connect and that kind of thing. Went to the back end of the front office where he was coming in the back elevator, and I saw him. And the first thing that I did was go to shake his hand. And he shook my hand, but it wasn't the same as any other handshake rep that I've had. But his hand was so big. That's what really took me, was how big his hand was. Nothing else.
Right, I'm sure. At
Nothing
least
else from the handshake.
it wasn't on the 4th of July. And at least you weren't like, "Hey man, high five," because that would have been the only worst thing you could have done.
That is true. That is true. But what I will say is that he was a good dude, and that was an awkward moment for the boy. And outside of that, though, great tenure as a Buccaneer.
Super Bowl champ. Sorry to, is that also salt in the wound?
No, man, sometimes you just have to. You have to take on life's adventures and wear it like a big boy.
You probably would have gotten like a ring. There probably would have been
Yes.
an after party, even in COVID times. You would have
The
been able to
weekend performed at halftime.
be probably on the boat that drunk Tom Brady was on with drunk Gronk spiking
I
the
could have
Lombardi
invested in
trophy.
crypto.
Could have ingested in crypto. There's a lot of things that could have, woulda, shoulda.
Could have met Sam Bankman-Fried.
But you know what? You live and learn.
Overall,
You live and learn. Overall,
you did
good experience, right? Question
great
mark.
experience.
Tampa.
Thank God.
Yeah, Paul got a ring from the old Red Sox for being involved. He
Yeah.
partied with them afterward. And
And that, and I
you
think
almost did that. Like if you had been there for like just any bit longer, you would have that would have been you, but you weren't there.
And instead, I just had a COVID year of SEC football and then lost my job.
And then lost your job. But we're doing
Now we're
great.
here.
Everyone's doing great. No
Oh,
regrets.
yeah. Wouldn't change a thing. Wouldn't change a single thing.
No regrets at all.
I've never wanted a Super Bowl ring either. I mean, like,
Yeah, stupid. So dumb.
you have to pay taxes on it and then. You gotta find a place to keep it, and there's just so many conversations that you have to have because you have one.
Yeah, think of all the people who would come up to you and then you gotta tell them like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so overall, what I would say is even though this is the meme of the miner mining under, and he stops and he's walking away, and the gold is like one pickaxe hit
There's a
away
lot of
from, even
those.
though that's what that is, sometimes you have to live it in real life. To appreciate things.
I mean, it's not like Brady is, across all sports in the entire galaxy, that big of a figure,
Yeah, but I love our church that we have in Auburn, so like I wouldn't have had that otherwise.
Welcome to episode 6 of General Seating Podcast, where we do discuss life regrets all the time. And we do that in the form of fantasy baseball. Shout out to Daily Waivers, dailywaivers.com, the everything fantasy baseball, fantasy, soon to be football aggregator app. I'm just gonna speak that into existence until Seth makes it happen that he also aggregates football news. We're just gonna start beating that drum since
he does.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he does. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Daily waivers. Does he really?
Yes.
I guess I only hop onto it for fantasy baseball reasons. This is the best natural ad for dailywaivers.com ever.
There is fantasy football content right there ready for you.
Oh, this isn't even scripted from our lovely producer Dwell, who also is here. Welcome, Wes. Shout out. But yeah, all right. Yeah, literally your everything fantasy sports website. So there you go. Well, welcome to episode 6. We have a lot of fun topics to talk about. We have the verbal meme of The Office, Michael Scott. Well, 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 look how the turn tables when we talk to our fantasy matchups. Very much looking forward to that. We're going to talk NFL draft. We're going to yell at some clouds. It's going to be a great episode. We were talking about this episode throughout this week, and I was looking forward to today. It's game day. We ready. We are ready. So Dwell and I opened up our matchup, and now we have the same record of 1-3. Pretty great. Somehow I won. Definitely my MVP was Eugenio Suarez, who on Saturday, in a losing effort, by the way, had 4 home runs. Yes, 1, 2, 3. 4 home runs. My LVP continues to be Kyren. He's no longer on our team. We wish him the best in his next endeavor.
Just shout out Eugenio, way to just absolutely put that freaking stiff arm on Jordan Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, who has had the greatest MILB season, like, week of anyone ever of all time, and would have been called up to play third base if Eugenio would have just dumped his pants. But no. 4 home runs. You know, I guess for the greater good of Brooks getting a win, sure, whatever. But, man,
I think it's more about Dwell getting a loss and me getting a win if we're talking about what really matters. But yeah, it felt good to get that first one. Feels good to be back in the playoff hunt right there, neck and neck with Dwell. We'll be talking about the General Seedings Cup maybe here in a minute, but I'm happy to be tied for first with that. You know, generally on the podcast, Dwell, the other like member, also speaks. So anytime. Just hop in.
Yeah, well, I feel like I had to kind of give you your due there. I lost. It was 7-3, but the difference in the categories, 4 runs, 1 homer, 4 RBI, 1 steal. What is that, like 6 or 7 hits over the course of a week? That's tough. I don't really have a lot to say.
Here's the great thing for me, sadness. If I'm going to just hop right back into me talking about this, is
God.
Really – historically, you are a member in the league history who has broken my heart several times, a couple of times in unbelievably infantile
legendary ones.
Yeah, Steven Cishek. I went to church. I praised Jesus. I was in such a good place. I had the week one. There was literally no scenario where I didn't have this one. And then Steven Cishek gave up, I think, 7 earned runs in a third of an inning and blew ERA. And either knocked me out of playoff contention or like, but it was, it made me question my faith, to be honest. Like I had to go, I had to go to Wednesday church. That's how heartbreaking that was. So,
there have been a few moments in the league where like you literally go back and like, I can name exactly where I was. Like I have physical, like specific memory. And I remember pulling up my phone on my back porch in the house I lived in Washington, D.C., looking at my phone, and Steve Cishek's name just like lit up my face. And I raised both hands in the air, and it was a win for me. And then years later, when I won, I had Steven send you a lovely video. That was pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, a nice little cameo from my friend Steven Cishek, who nothing but the worst in retirement, too. Like, seriously, I hope he's unhappy and like didn't get pension.
He's such a nice guy.
Sure.
And he even talks about his faith in his cameo.
Praying for you, brother. I hope all those would be a real shame if he lost all his money in that first contract, if that was all gone and didn't have a good, smart financial advisor. It'd be such a shame. So anyway, no, felt very good to get a win. I didn't want to be like on here in week like 8 with no dub. That would have just been not fun. And like I said, I almost called my shot last week where I was like, man, I just want to get one of these really annoying wins that can make it fun. And I did. And it was great. So
It
yeah.
was an annoying win.
Penny, you go.
I had an insanely good lead all week, 8-2, going into the weekend, and
You
my
were playing.
bets. Adam is one of the guys in the league who stocked up on a ton of picks, had an insane draft, just coming up aces all for him. Bats froze over cold, and he came back and ended up tying it. That burns so bad. But
It burns us.
what I will say, again, I have to beat the drum of Corbin Carroll just being
Dude,
insane.
that cat is frustratingly on fire this year. As he was like, we did. I don't know if we super talked about it last pod, but I kind of got, I don't want to say extorted or pressured, but we had a live trade, you and I, that involved me shipping Corbin Carroll, basically like the rights to Corbin Carroll, that you have greatly benefited from. And
Honestly,
he
we
has
should put
been,
that clip in here
we
just
could.
so people can hear that
Yeah.
live trade. All right, yeah, let's do it, man. Stott, Fried, Shota, Carroll, Grayson, Doval, Phillips, Terang.
I'm gonna say no.
What? You said half the guys. Okay. Who is the guy hanging you up?
On that one, Fried and Carroll.
You said Carroll.
I know, but he's the worst because his upside is so stupid good.
Have you seen his upside yet?
No. Well, yes, it up close in person in the world C or in the NLCS last year.
Okay, when? I was trying to remember when last year was.
We gotta hold. Hold. I'm
Stop
interested
it,
in
stop it. We're
I'm
too
interested in
close.
Duvall. I'm
No.
interested in Duvall and Phillips. But
Okay, okay.
I
No, 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 no. Don't be done.
don't
Don't be done.
be
Don't be done.
There's so much that hangs in the balance in this conversation. It feels so heavy.
Listen to me. Stop, stop,
Stop,
stop.
stop.
Corbin, Imanaga, Stott, for Doval, Phillips, Terang.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
All right, don't think, just do. Okay. What did we just do? What did
Happened fast.
with Seeker?
That
Oh,
happened
bleh.
fast.
No, it was fun. That was good. I think this is good.
I mean, we had to try it.
We had to try it. Okay, and there it went.
Yeah, it was. Looking back, definitely one of those picks where it's like, oh man, the Bryce Young Caleb Williams trade, everyone's finally been drafted and you can look at it and it is a slaughter. I mean, like I got
Yeah.
murdered in that trade, of course, because like why trade with you or J Money? No offense, J Money, but you always destroy me when everything looks back.
Why trade with me? You just put that evil on me?
No, I'm not saying like I'm saying like I got destroyed by that particular trade.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Like it was that level of one-sidedness. Because like I think I got Evan Phillips back and I dropped him because then he immediately started to go into the toilet. Bryce Terang, who also just like decided to stop stealing bases the second half of the year, very
Evan
fun.
was injured. Okay. Evan was injured. Shout out.
Just anyway, it's fine. It's fine.
There was a period at the end of I guess what was it? Not last season, but the season before, at the very end when he injured his shoulder, Corbin Carroll, and I thought to myself like. Things started looking bad. Like if you went into Savant, his profile, he kind of really struggled. I thought for sure it was going to be a similar, because I think it was a similar injury to what Bellinger's dealt with, some other folks. And I thought that he was really going to drop off. But I mean, could not be more wrong about that looking at him right now.
I mean, he was
And
batting
then my LVP, AJ Hinch.
ninth.
Pick a freaking closer, man. Tommy
Oh.
Conley, Will Vest. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Dude, pick a guy. Like, Tommy Conley would have gotten me enough to win, solds. But no, we had to do vest. But then when I pick up vest, he's already exhausted because he's been carrying the team on his back like Greg Jennings all week. So
diamond level pool.
AJ Hinch, shout out to you being a Dookie head. Pick a guy. You're paying Tommy Conley a lot of cash. Make
By
it happen.
Far the bane of fantasy existence. And I would say this is a cross sport, is trying to figure out closer in fantasy baseball. I hate it. Hate it. Hate
it's
it,
my
hate
favorite it. Game though. I love it. I love doing it.
No. Cause it is I why do you love it? This is good. Let's fight about this. I think it's dumb.
It's,
I think you should get like to be able to draft like Philly's closer and then you have that for the year. And at least,
oh, DST? You want to do DST? Dude,
no, lame.
Stop.
That's fine. I can get the bad emoji. That's I acknowledge it's a bad take. I'm just saying, like, it is so frustrating when, like, you actually do your like, you can do the right thing and you're screwed. Or you could do the wrong thing and you turn out correctly. And I know that that's just sports,
yeah,
specifically fantasy sports, but I hate it.
I think I mean, do it.
Yell at me. Come at me.
Yeah. It's an art. Like it is truly an art. And it's also that you have to keep up with it. You've got to follow the correct resources and stay locked in on guys that are getting blown up, guys that are performing well, call ups. Like there's so many different variables to it that makes it really exciting, especially if you don't have any closers. Like I started the season with zero relief pitchers and
you drafted like 10 straight starters and no relievers.
Yeah, zero relievers. But like that's the fun part about it to me is everybody that wastes a fifth round or sixth round on Devin Williams or Emmanuel Clase. Oh, jeez. You know,
hey,
like.
Hey. He's going to be fine. He's still very much going to be eligible for draft pick trading come week six.
It's merely a flesh wound. Yeah, it's tough, man, because, I mean, I get your perspective, but from my side, it's a lot of fun because we've already curtailed the league to where you have 8 a.m. pickups every day. So that just shot me in the face from like my 2 a.m. pickups. When I wake up, I can't sleep. I got restless leg syndrome. And I'm like, you know what? I should check out Fantrax really quick. Maybe Closer Monkey. Let me give it a quick look. Oh, God, pitchers list. Okay. I see the rankings. Is that guy available? He's available. He's on my team. Let's go. Suck it. I can't do that anymore.
That was such a,
because I have to wait until 8 a.m.
down. Yeah. Well, I think it also is a bit of a snapshot into how baseball has changed, right? It used to be all 30 teams, hey, this is my closer, and this is my closer for the length of this contract. This is just what he's going to do, and he's got to really be garbage for a really long time if that's going to change. And that is outside of maybe 7, 8, 10 guys max, not the case anymore. Like so much more, it's by committee, or if you have two blown saves in a row, you're done and either relegated to the, you know, lower leverage eighth inning, seventh inning role, or just demoted. I feel like the hook is so fast now.
Do you, Dwell, we have something on this, so I don't really want to ruin it, but do you know who the highest paid relief pitcher is right now?
Is it Hader?
AV, like annual salary?
Yes.
Is it Hader?
No.
Devin?
Brooks.
I know Jordan Romano is making 12, which is absolute highway robbery, but it's not that.
No, that's cheap.
Is it Devin Williams?
No.
I don't know.
Tanner Scott.
Oh, that was sitting there right in front of me.
My guy. Literally my guy.
The Phillies ultimately have the most money wrapped up in relief pitchers, and they have always dookied the bed around relief pitchers. It's just crazy.
Hey, Brad Lidge, I think 2008, perfect season.
I think the interesting thing, though, like especially you're saying Brad Lidge, Brooks, like this puts it in a perspective where they paid a ton of money. Like the Dodgers poured a ton of money on, well, Dodgers bad example. You could put a ton of money into a single guy who is very, very, very good, but it seems like the Phillies' approach is to spread out an aggregate amount of a ton of money over a lot of guys who are very mediocre and just continue to let them down.
Well, we've tried to be like super cheap and just do like we did the Craig Kimbrel season in 2022, which ended in very much of a dumpster fire in the desert of Arizona, or excuse me, that was 2023. We made Jeff Hoffman / Jose Alvarado kind of this dual closer role.
And Hoffman is great.
Hoffman was great. Yeah, Hoffman is great currently. And we rolled out Jordan Romano, who I will say closed the game against the Cubs, which is at once also frustrating that I had Jordan Romano, and then he had a 13 ERA, so I didn't want to continue to have a 13 ERA, so I dropped him, and now somebody else probably, if doesn't have him now, will have him, and this is why I hate it. I hate it.
XERA is not bad.
His stuff,
it doesn't match up to the
fastball was at 92 at the beginning. Now he hit 100 in the Cubs game.
There's a world. I had this exercise today because I came really close to wanting to go down that road of picking up Jordan Romano and like doing that whole thing. And that's what even got me even more entrenched in salaries, because I was like, oh, they're probably playing Jordan Romano so much more than Jose Alvarado. No, it's about the same.
Yeah.
So
you know
Jose's
what? Actually,
gonna.
You should, as the Phillies fan in me, because whoever you pick up just magically turns to gold. So like, this is me on my hands and knees begging you, please pick up Jordan Romano.
Okay. You say that.
Because
you
if
say
I
that.
I pick him up, he won't do diddly.
Do you? You're a part of this text thread with J Money, right? Like, yes. You have seen how much just absolute
but
pain
J Money,
and anguish.
Here's the thing. No, but you are like one category, but then like this is where legend and league-ness like transcends fan graphs. Like, if it doesn't matter. This is where like J Money does not follow the rules. Yes, he's probably smarter than me, but also there is just like an inevitability to him with this, right? I mean,
yes.
And that is. That is male.
He tried to do it with Tanner Hawk and it didn't work. And I needed that.
Yeah, this is true.
I needed that.
He like pretty much bullied you into rage dropping Tanner Hawk. And then he picked him up.
And then he picked him up.
Yeah. It's fine. We're not mad at you.
It's another classic Hawk to a rug pull.
Hey,
dude,
you know who
so
I think
is.
Had another 10-0 week or close to? Was
Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas is winning the league this year. Right.
Yeah, if you have a guy in your league that is 10-0-ing folks, just go ahead and realize you're not going to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just eat it and know that the chances of you winning the league are very slim. Unless you have draft pick trading, which in this point, like, we overindulge on that.
No.
But
not us.
Thomas is just going nuclear. He almost 10-0'd me.
I mean, he slaps like, you.
His team is very good.
Very tough. Yeah, so J
before
Money.
We close up the reliever discussion, see if you can get the top three bullpens.
Mets are one of them.
Dodgers?
They're number three.
Athletics, I have no idea.
No.
What's your number 10?
Guardians.
Cleveland is 12th. Your boy he's been getting beat up pretty good. And
Giants? Giants? Question mark.
Giants are 8.
I love the Giants pick.
They're fun right now.
Padres?
Padres are number 1.
There you go.
Padres number 1. Shout out one, Jeremiah Estrada. Astros.
No, Houston's number 5. You guys have done good. Named all top like 10 teams other than Cleveland.
Oh, Kurt. Okay. Okay.
Another NL team.
Mm-hmm.
Find it.
Did you hear me say the Mets?
No, but that is number 2.
Okay.
Yeah, is it?
That was the first team I said. Just saying. It's fine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the Mets are frustratingly great, and I hate it.
Well, see, the thing is, like, with the Guardians, I knew that Clase has been bad this year, but, dude, they have so many dogs in that pen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's insane. Like, I just figured that would have helped it out. Hey, you know what? I love relievers. I can't stop. Look, this is if I was a GM, which I'm far from it. If I was a GM and you're going down this road of being like, "Oh, hey, I've got to pick up good relievers."
You're not that far from a GM. I'm just saying. Like, what we do is really serious. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, sure.
But if that were me, just go get your Abner Uribes, your Hunter Gaddises, your I'm trying to think of like AJ Minter could be your veteran guy.
Yeah.
Like go get these dudes that have like crazy good potential and have like could break out for you. And screw these dudes, screw these journeymen that you have to pay like 12 mil a year and hope to God that mentally that they can handle the pressure of being a closer. Like it's already enough anguish. Just put it on somebody who doesn't give a frick.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you, if there was one guy right now that if I could just be like, you know what, your only job is the ninth inning, I know that you're going to hate like whoever you're throwing to, dude, back the truck up for Brayan Bello and let him do it. Because he can't go more than five innings anyway. So just be like, dude, check it out. Throw as hard as you can for one inning. Like, that's all you have to do.
I think that's kind of the model that Cleveland and Milwaukee have done. I mean, Cleveland's obviously held on in Class A. But Milwaukee, you know, went from who was right before Josh Hader? Ended up with the Dodgers a little while. But it was him, then Hader, and then Devin Williams. And now it's kind of Trevor McGill. They just continue to rotate through these guys where they get a whole bunch of productive years out of them and then keep moving forward. Cleveland's done the same thing. James Karinczak was, you know, not the closer, but like they've done a lot with their eighth inning guys for a while.
Well, I think it like goes to show how impressive the feats of, I mean, Kimbrel's not had the most shiny last couple of years, but like Craig Kimbrel, Kenley Jansen, Aroldis Chapman, you know, personal stuff notwithstanding, these people that have been in the league now for 10 plus years, still racking up saves, getting on the all-time saves records. I mean, like, gone are the days of Eric Gagne getting like 90 saves a season. I mean, like,
yeah,
they had to like grind it out. Now, I mean, I remember when I was writing for the Katuit Kettle years, I wrote about Craig Kimbrel as like, he will win Rookie of the Year, which I believe he did. And he's got the best slider in baseball. And that was in 2010. And here we are, almost 15 years later, like, and he's
toot toot. Let's get it, Brooks.
I know, right? Didn't even mean to do. I'm just saying that, like, it's a like a big, you know, snaps in the chat to them to be able to like in this era where we're talking about like you have such a short leash to be able to do that type of like high stress, high leverage job over and over again is kind of underrated in like hardest jobs in sports.
I agree, and especially with how they'll juice baseballs. They'll juice bats, like they'll do anything to make the game more exciting. So you're just fighting an uphill battle as that back end guy. And especially now you've got guys like AJ Hinch who won't even freaking give his guys a chance. He won't even like the dude is number one guy. Doesn't even mess up. Hey, check out. We're going to have his other guy start. That's making $500,000. How about that?
Are you okay? You okay?
I'm good.
All these things that we have talked about in fantasy baseball start with a draft. And I would say that all fantasy drafts have kind of been, in the dawn of their existence, loosely based off of the NFL draft, where you want to play the, you know, do, like the music hits every single time you think about hitting that draft player button on your old ESPN draft interfaces. You know, draft pick trading has very much been like borrowed from the, you know, idea of trades that are executed in the NFL. And over the weekend, we had what everybody said going into it was not a very talent heavy draft, but it turned out to be, I don't even know, I don't want recency bias to take over, but like since the Manziel draft, maybe perhaps the most Lamar and his slide, definitely the highest rated Saturday or day three of the draft for a long time. We've got a lot to get to. We wanted to spend some time talking about the NFL draft. Austin, I want to yield the floor to you, and I want to give us a little, but we're obviously going to talk about Shador. Can we talk about Cam Ward? Can you be happy for a minute and put on your happy face and just say like, hey, this is pretty cool. And like the more stories that come out about him and his leadership and work ethic and story, it continues to in the moment get overshadowed by everything. But I just want to yield the floor to you and get some flowers.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was chatting with you about it. The reason that I've always been so apprehensive when the Titans are picking high up, or especially a quarterback, I've just lived through Vince Young. I've lived through Jake Locker, Marcus Mariota. I've lived through these he's our savior moments, mm-hmm. and it just not working out so many times that it's very hard to get my hopes up. But after the pick and just seeing the content that was coming out around Cam Ward and his story and like his work ethic and seriously like his grind it, you know, F everything, I'm going to win mentality. I think it's maybe different. I truly think it may be different.
I agree. I mean, he's got like, so, I mean, if you go from the idea of like, okay, Peyton Manning John Elway, the prototypical quarterback, was like the 6'6", you know, field general, somebody who could quote unquote make all the throws. And then along comes Patty Mahomes, and now the league kind of is going towards like that's what offensive plays are being called, is to more fit that skill set. And he totally is of that mold. I'm not saying he's going to be like Patrick Mahomes, but also like he started at Incarnate Word, right? And that like went to Washington State, not even like rest in peace the Pac-12, and ended up at Miami. You know, was able to like throw dimes to Restrepo all this season, and just like had a really, really, I mean, Miami didn't lose games because their offense, their defense was a total turnstile. So I would be, it's rare. And like, I can only really remember this, like one of my first memories as an Eagles fan was when we dropped to McNabb, and I didn't really get it at the time, but when we got Wentz number two overall, which albeit it didn't end well, but those first couple years of Wentz, it was like, oh man, here we have a savior. My Sundays are going to be happy forever. And that feeling of like, you have hope and you may have a guy and you may be able to like get into the upper echelon. This is like a sacred, sacred time that you have where it's just all hope right now. That there, nothing is dashed. It's all positive outlook.
Yeah, I agree. And I've come around on that. And I think, you know, as someone who is definitely a realist with the Titans franchise, I understand that, you know, it's going to take a little time for him to get into a place where he feels good. Every quarterback has a year adjustment period. You know, I expect him to start. I hope that they don't open the offense up so much,
right,
where he's kind of, you know, ruined or spoiled at the beginning of it because of it being very hard to play in the NFL, especially at that position. But if they can get him into a good place, get him, you know, caught up, and really the talent around him, like Gunnar Helm is the guy that I love out of Texas, tight end. Mm-hmm. The dude is insanely talented. Normally takes tight ends a year as well, a year to 2 years to acclimate, because the blocking is so much different and it's so hard, so much harder.
Right.
So if you give Cam Ward and some of this nucleus that they have around him, they've got Tony Pollard, you know, they've got some decent offensive line gel right now, but if they can give them this year just to get 7 wins, you know, something that just you can build on and some impact games, I think that that's really going to help his confidence and kind of help him be a leader next year. And that's kind of the way you have to look at it. And if those things can come together, I think Cam Ward can be successful. I just hope that they don't spoil him in a negative way this first year by putting too much pressure on him to win now, you know?
I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to like let Will Levis be a sacrificial lamb weeks 1 through 4,
yeah,
just to be sure that like, you know, it can't be worse than this, you know, like,
right.
Cause ultimately, obviously he's going to be the guy. A couple things, the moment with Warren Moon coming out and be like, I bequeath upon you the number one in the Titan Blues. Praise be,
dude.
I mean, that was cool. It was very funny too, because we were having this conversation of like, are you Jersey guys anymore? And you're like, no, I could babysit these dudes, I can't buy a jersey. And I was like, holding my brand new Cooper DeJean jersey, I was like, dang, he's right, crap, whatever, screw you. And then that moment happened, I'm like, you're so all the way back in, you got it.
I'm back in easy. Yeah, because honestly, that is so special, because Warren Moon is a legend for a lot of reasons, but for him to kind of pass that one off to Cam is just like, it's the things that we love in sports, right? The story, the tradition.
How can you not be romantic about football?
That's what it is, man. And when the Titans posted that video, shout out Nate Bain, I was just like, oh my God, this is perfect. Like, this is what it's all about. So Cam Ward jersey may or may not be coming to the household.
Did you see that you signed Restrepo?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's pretty dope.
No,
that's
well, dope. See, here's the deal, man. It that when the Titans
may have
let
ran
off,
like a 5.2 at the combine, but
it wasn't great. But here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. I think Restrepo probably measures out better in the slot. He's probably going to be one of those guys that plays like the flanker slot position. But the thing about him is he is the guy that Cam Ward is going to need on hitch routes, mesh concepts where he can go underneath. He's going to be somebody like that. And like, I don't know if Restrepo makes the team or not, but having somebody that you like kind of made it with,
right?
Like you got to that level with, it's so invaluable. And so like, that's why I see a lot of these picks, like not next year, give them some time to develop and get a little bit more acclimated. But overall, I love what the Titans did in the draft. I really wanted them to pick Nick Nash over Jamiri Dike, but I understand DK had an incredible 40 time. He was like one of the fastest wide receivers. So like, go get your bag. I get it. But a great draft. I couldn't have scripted it anymore after that Cam Ward pick, because I did, Brooks. I did get fired up after a little bit more time.
Cam Ward got done so dirty because literally they announced Cam Ward's name, and then Adam Scheffner and his like terrible pullover tie combination is like, awful. We have extreme breaking news right now. The Jacksonville Jaguars have traded up to the second pick and given all their rights to the lives of their grandmother's estate to be able to get to number two to take Travis Hunter, which like, okay, cool. Also, this GM of the, I don't forget his name, but the GM of the Jags is literally our age, maybe younger.
Yeah.
Talking about how Travis Hunter is
my age. He's 35.
It's incredible. Man. I mean, he's like this, he transcends like sports, space, and time. Like he's talking about Travis Hunter like he's like in the seventh dimension, which it's very cool. I'll be interested to see if he can play both offense and defense in the NFL. A lot of old hats say he can't. But I mean, like, I guess if you're the Jaguars, you can try to tap into this London market and get every single Londoner wearing Travis Hunter jerseys. That was a lot of stuff to give up for our guy.
You can play first base. It's easy. Tell him.
And he can pass.
The movie Miles into it. Yeah. Dwell, when is it okay to wear a quarter zip and a tie? I want to know.
Never. I just don't. It's like dudes that are like 55 that want to pretend they're 30. I mean, like, you gotta lose the tie. And I also, I don't understand how you can wear, like, I know there's been a lot of change, and I wear a hoodie at the golf course, and like, I embrace that.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you can wear a hoodie and a jacket. Like, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah. It's when keeping it real goes wrong, man. way too much. Way too much. Gotta do less.
It's real.
That was like when you try to do like a Thanksgiving service at church and some guy's trying to be like a little too Brooks Brothers. That was the vibes I got from old Shefty, who, like, I love Shefty, and we'll get to Mel Kiper in a bit, but there's like these personalities that are like at the Thanksgiving table that is the NFL draft that you see and you're like, I don't really like you, but like, I'm happy to see you because it's the NFL draft. Shefty is definitely one of them, and he showed out.
You're nailing the church references. It's so true. Oh my gosh.
Abdul Carter to the Giants. I kind of hate that the Giants and the Cowboys had two great drafts. They really did. I think we'll get to the Eagles in a bit. I think we also did fine, but like, the Giants actually all of a sudden become, I mean, they've got Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter, Malik Nabers. All of a sudden you've got some names. I don't think they've got anybody particularly talented at throwing the football, but
Exon Jackson, Blackson, Waxon, Dart.
That dude. And Russell Wilson. So what could go wrong? But
Yeah. Tough.
Can I say something kind of mean about Will Campbell, your LSU guy?
Sure.
Was he a little too like, hey man, I'm going to like, you know, give on the third day, I'm going to rise because I died for Drake May. Like, he was a little too buddy all of a sudden. Like, he cried for like 7 seconds too long after he got drafted.
Were you timing him? You're like, no. Too long on the
it's
bit.
Cool. First base coaches have the time to first, and Brooks has the time to cry timer again. Still a tear. And it's done. It's 7.5. Oh my lord.
I don't know. I mean, like, he definitely, he was a great LSU Tiger, but I don't know.
I do think the tears, like, I give a pass on the tears. Although it sometimes like it feels like it can get into a little hokey territory, but they'll like come out and be like, I'm going to save the team. And they are kind of teed up by, I guess, when, you know, they're getting interviewed. The first question is, what are you bringing to blah, blah, blah? Or like, how are you going to do da, 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 da? It's like, I don't know, man, I'm a rookie. Like, I'm going to try.
Like, dude, I have no clue what this team has at any position. Yeah. I was hoping to God somebody would say my name.
Yeah, it's always like, how do you feel? And then what are you going to bring? It's like, okay, well, we could probably come up with something different.
Yeah.
But Austin, you sent me just the best Ashton Gentry meme tweet. Can you extrapolate?
Honestly, I sent so much. What was the tweet?
This was when they were going through the hats and they had like the dead camera on, and they're all these, you know, like 6'4", 6'5", like they're all looking right in the camera, and then they go to Gentry and it's like just the top of the hat, because
just the top of the hat, baby.
Just look, the top of that black and gray, black and silver. Just win, baby.
That's a great segue. I think one thing that we do have to hit on, because we are on a fantasy site, is the impact of this draft.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
people want to know, like, out of this draft, who are some guys that are going to be worth trying to get in the football season next year for draft picks? Obviously, Ashton Gentry is going to be an insane pick.
He's going to go eighth in so many drafts this year.
Yes.
It's going to be not, you know, top three pick, but like that dude that has, you know, a later round first pick that wants to be flashy, be kind of like, ooh, maybe he's sly. I don't know. Gentry's going to be the eighth pick, just.
But inevitably. I would fade that. I would not go top 10 for Gentry. I think that he's going to have some growing pains, especially on that, in that offense, but I think he is going to be somebody long term that can ball. It's a different league.
I think Hampton, if we're looking at a first round running back, Omarion Hampton on the Chargers, you know, they got Najee Harris, who just doesn't seem to super age well. I don't know. That could be tasty.
Yeah, he's kind of like that Greg Oden age system. Right. Shout out Greg Oden, man. I think you're going to college right now. If you are, best of luck in Chem 4. Luther Burden III. The Bears got him in the second round. The dude's going to play the Z position for the Bears. He is going to be an underneath guy. He's going to be in motion a ton. He's going to play off the tight end. He is going to be a very sneaky pick. If he stays healthy during training camp, that's the one thing with a lot of these wide receivers, is you see soft tissue injuries during training camp, because the way that they train during training camp is different than the way that college athletics programs train during training camp.
And so, just the length of the season.
Yeah. But if Luther can get his sea legs quickly, man, you're talking about a dude that is going to really help in the underneath game, but also free up Rome Odunze. And that's going to be pretty big for the Bears. And then RJ Harvey for the Broncos is going to be a problem. If there is going
Aaron
to be
Sproles 2.0,
he truly is going to be that type of player. He's going to pass catch. The dude can stonewall in pass protection. He's going to be a great Texas route runner. He's going to be just a good downhill runner, man. And he's like, I know he's 5'9", like 200 bucks, but the dude is going to be a dog. I'm really excited about that pick.
That's
going to be dynamite.
I think a late round pick that's going to do well, that is loved by many of us, Jarquez Hunter in the fourth round. Evidently, Les Snead, Auburn alum, loved him. I guess the draft room, according to Peter Schrager, was quite excited when they drafted him. Film star in LA. He's going to, because of the movies in Hollywood in LA. I actually do think, because Kyron Williams was very good, but I think there's a place for him in a McVay offense where he could really, really shine. I wouldn't be like,
yeah,
you want to just take a flyer on a dude that's probably not going to get drafted, you know, anywhere sort of soon, but like could potentially have top 10 running back potential. I would take a little flyer on our friend Jarquez.
Yeah, he's a James Conner light. Mm-hmm. That would be the comp.
I don't want to inundate more than it has already been, but we have to talk about it per request, but also like it was legitimately a media story that we just need to kind of discuss, since this was somewhat of a seminal moment in the sports culture. Shedeur Sanders, who I'm not particularly a big fan of, fell to the fifth round of the Browns after they drafted Dillon Gabriel in the fourth round. Hilarious. So now they have a quarterback room of, I believe it is Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders, and Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett. Okay, here's what I will say. People, I feel like people in the media got very upset because they had him, you know, mock draft at like first round, second round, whatever. And then Mel Kiper made it so bad and so awkward with all his, I mean, he had like a, and I like Mel, he's not my favorite person in the world. He is that uncle at Thanksgiving that it's like, hey, maybe he's wearing a red hat. Maybe it has a small phrase about America on it. Like that. Hey, Uncle Paul, what's up? Oh, you look good regardless. Like, again, he's just somebody that reminds you about the holidays. He's there because it's the NFL draft and it's Mel Kiper. Anyway, he made it so awkward. And Reese Davis, who never gets like big brother or bully, had to be like, hey man, chill out. Just relax, man. And that made it, that was like daddy hit mommy. Like it was like, all right, well, we can't just keep on having a normal NFL draft now. So anyway, I think there was this, my take on it is that like, if you look at Shador's career, where he goes to Jackson State and before taking a single snap, Deion's like, Shador's going to come and he's going to be the starter. That's fine. Whatever. It's Jackson State. He then goes, Deion takes a Colorado job and he says, ton of you dudes are going to leave. I'm going to get my guys in here and Shador's going to be the starter. He said that before he was even on campus enrolled.
I'm bringing my luggage and it's Louis.
And he like has a fine career at Colorado. Colorado was like 2-10 before they got there. I wouldn't say he was like retired number worthy like he ended up getting. So then you have just on that object, those are just facts. So then you could develop a narrative where you have somebody who is probably good enough to earn a starting quarterback job, but it was made very evident by the way that it was talked about and the way that it happened that he didn't have to do that. He just showed up and his dad's the coach and he got to play and he did fine. And I feel like he kind of, the narrative that then was like, he really did bad on interviews. He wore a strong cologne. He brought his posse. He had like headphones blaring during the like, and I don't know if that's true. I have no idea if that's true. But I would say just the objective history of Shador lends the general listening audience to like, well, that story could be true. And I feel like there are different, you know, I'm always clued into what Simmons and Ryan Rosillo and Pardon My Take are saying. And a bunch of guests they had on, like Daniel Jeremiah, kind of hinted at he could fall past the second, possibly third round. So this wasn't like an entirely big shock to me. But I feel like the public was very shocked. And I don't know that, I mean, that him then getting prank called, I mean, you know, President Trump weighed in. Everyone had a take on Shador slides. So now I want your guys' take. Austin T.
I think it was a little aggressive. Regardless of the baggage or perceived baggage that GMs were looking at, the guy has won. He has played with less talented teams. He has had a great upbringing in terms of understanding what's right and wrong. He's had a great mentor in his dad. I mean, say what you want about, you know, about Deion, but like, dude, I think he's a good kid. Like, I don't think that there's anything to be like, oh, this guy sucks. Like,
yeah.
It's just perceived.
Just entitled. It seems entitled and a lack of
humility. It does. It does. And probably out of touch.
For, like, you love to see something right. Like that fall on their face.
Yeah. It's the absolute opposite of like a Cam Ward where you're like, oh, this guy came from nothing. He has worked his tail off to get to this. Do I think that Shador is like a first round quarterback? I truly don't. And I said this when like we were what 2 months out of the draft. I was like, no, I wouldn't draft. I think I even said I wouldn't draft Shador in the first five rounds.
I think
rounds.
You did. Yeah. When like, we were talking about it at the infancy or even on the last version of this, we were like, you ready for Shador?
I'm not. And I wouldn't have like if I were the Titans, I wouldn't even have been in an advocating role for that. When I think about Shador's long-term outlook, this is probably the best situation for him, is to be humbled. And I think that's what the whole thing was about. If you're like looking at it bird's eye,
I totally agree with that.
You're trying to figure out the shtick here. This I think could it's be just the best humbling
thing.
Him.
Yeah, this could be the best thing that happens to him. I mean, this is like first scene in the championship DVD if it comes to that, obviously.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, absolutely.
He all of a sudden becomes like a very sympathetic figure. And, you know, if he does make a team, if he does lead Cleveland to any sort of success, yeah. I mean, like, pretty great story at that point.
It is, and but what I'll say overall, like the prank phone call from the defensive coordinator at Falcons, his kid that did that.
I got it like, pulled up right here. On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Hilarious use of the word tremendous.
Tremendous mistake. That's awfully good. Yeah, get out of here, man.
How dumb do you have to be to one, do this, and then two, to film it and you be visible? You're not even the one doing the prank phone call, but
yeah,
you
dude.
Give yourself away as the one identifying the factor trash. Where they can trace it back. Oh, it was so
brother, funny. Like just the most bush league thing. I don't care who's on the other end doing something like that is so lame. Like, not even minor league. That's like. Get off of this play. El Salvador. Go.
It's quite common. Cooper DeJean, my baby boy, had this happen to him last year. Kyle McCord.
It's
so bad.
It's ridiculous. There's no place for that kind of thing. It's just no class. Like I can't stand that would happen to him. But what I'll say is I think Shador long term, I think he's probably going to be closer to a Carson Wentz talent long term.
That's actually a very good comp.
I think that he'll probably get an opportunity. I think the stat was 0-43 on quarterbacks drafted in the fifth round securing starting jobs. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. I do think if anybody was going to break that, I would put my money on Shador. I think that in all seriousness, he could have gone in the third round. That would have been like, all right, okay, we see. Like he had a slide. The moment's there. The Browns are an organization that do not do well with quarterbacks. Everyone knows. Mm-hmm. Nothing out of the norm here. I don't think Shador will find his success in Cleveland. I think that Shador will be someone who lays a foundation in Cleveland, and then he will soon find success with another team. And that's where I could see him making a mark. He'll probably be a backup guy. Get a couple of shots, kind of like a Teddy Bridgewater, where he's like, he's there. The dude can win when we absolutely need him to, you know, win, but he's nothing that we can hedge our entire franchise on.
Right.
But yeah,
he needs the Browns.
I'm bummed to see that happen to him, but I understand why I did.
Totally agree. He needs the Browns to move on from Watson, which is not totally inconceivable. He needs Joe Flacco to age, which is also totally inconceivable. So then that would leave Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel, who he can probably beat out, if not be the backup to one of those two, three, if, you know, but I mean, there's also a real scenario. He's not on the roster. Like he may get cut.
Yeah, he could. I mean, dude, the way that I like to think about it is, you know, when you're with a new friend group and you're like, no one comes out and says, yo, I am freaking amazing at beer pong. Like no one leads with that.
It's literally you.
But then it gets time for teams to be picked and teams are starting to get picked and you're like falling down the draft board and you're like, dude, they really are not giving me.
Beer pong was literally my social currency. I think that was your direct quote. Yeah.
I went and I still maintain, I have it tattooed on my forearm so I never forget. I went 7th pick in that Jacksonville draft. And boy, did that invigorate me to dominate these men. And I did. And so I think that same energy is going to transfer to Shador. The same energy that I had in Jacksonville, it's going to happen to Shador.
Man, shout out.
I think the holding's been.
Sorry, go ahead, Dwell.
I was just going to say, I think the holding's been beaten to death. So I just have like two kind of points. First one, I think I agree a lot with what Austin said. Like, I could see him being between a 15 and 30 starts his career kind of guy. And like, you know, it's respectable. Like you get a season under your belt, or you get like, you know, you come in, like somebody's going to be the starter and they get hurt. And then Shadur shows up and he, you know, leads the team to a 10-7 season or 11-6 and they go to the playoffs and then like, you know, moves on. Other thing I think it's interesting is, you know, he was a kid for a very long time, and you never fault a kid for things that their parents do, because you don't have a choice in that. And then at some point, it's kind of like, well, you're an adult,
right?
And when do you start making those choices? And I think what's interesting about him is it's hard to see, kind of, you know, how much of this was set in stone for him, where like he could not really make that choice because his dad is the head coach where he went. And if he chooses, no, dad, like I'm going to stay at Jack State or I'm going to go someplace else. It's like, I don't know. Those are interesting questions to ponder.
With that, he could never shake the kid image, right? Like he's with his dad, you know, in both stops in college, you know, it's the Dion show in Colorado. I think if he just goes to Cleveland and is a good locker room guy and doesn't have, you know, the things that you're worried about, like with the bad interview, like he apparently or allegedly had, if he just does that, and say he doesn't make it in Cleveland, and then word gets around in the NFL, like, you know, he was actually great, then he can probably find a second, third landing spot, because then he's got all this raw, decent talent on tape that it's like, okay, if he's not like, you know, being this huge media suck fest and just being like really a bad locker room guy, like we'll take a shot. Can we talk some quick parenting corner? Some parenting and marriage corner?
Let's talk it out, man.
All right. So my wife, she's very, very involved in this Bible study here in Charleston. That's like wives of medical professionals. Really, really, like she's super involved. It's very cool. It's like definitely benefited her. Anyway, so she invited, she like hosted. So then it was just me and Daisy, daddy daughter, isolated iso ball on Thursday. So I. You know, we make a date of it. It's super fun. We went to Chick-fil-A and then I brought her to a brewery where they serve like hot chocolate. They've got a coffee bar. So she like, and they've got this cool little top floor area. So anyway, there's this, stair area that she, it's like 25 stairs, but she like trundled up it, got up it. Cool. Okay. So we're up there. I'm having my beer. She's having her hot chocolate. Incredible. Right. Okay, cool. We got a dirty diaper. No problem. I've run this play. That's, you know, outside zone.
I can handle this.
Run that play a jillion times. No problem. Change the diaper, put her shorts on. And then I'm like, all right, time to go. So then she starts like walking down the stairs, and she's usually like pretty good at walking down the stairs, but she like can't do it. I'm like, what is wrong? Oh, I put both of her legs in one short hole and she's on like the seventh step of 25 down. And that was bad. That was I just need to like self-report this NCAA violation of like, maybe I'm not a good dad. I need to like, this is a, like, you need to hit the film room. Like that's just that's a never event in my business. It was bad. It was bad. We had to reset. We had to, cause she gave
Did
me
you go back up
of,
the stairs?
Yeah. She gave me this look of like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, obviously like get out there. Just give her a little, you know, slap on the butt and be like, go run the play. Yeah. Come on. You know, we're gonna try to be better next time. We're gonna try to be
That's okay, man. Especially when you're out in the wild. There's a lot running through your head. Like it's not easy maintaining that situation anyway. Yeah. So you gotta give yourself some grace on that.
It was a really bad visual. I can't even begin to tell you where you see like these two legs, one hole. It was not great. Not great.
We've now reached the time where phrases are now stuck in my daughter's head, and she'll just repeat them. Her newest one is "Daddy pooted."
Incredible.
She tells it to everybody.
Oh no!
The daddy pooted. Run the clip.
What did you say about daddy?
Daddy pooted.
She doesn't care who is listening. But she says it. And tonight dinner, I asked her, did you tell your teacher D that daddy pooted? And she said, yes. And I was like, okay, great. So
There's a famous story in my family of my uncle and his daughter Lily, who's now a grown daughter, but she was like 4 or 3 or whatever, or in something. And she walked in on him in the bathroom and was like, "Daddy, you have a tail." And that very quickly spread like wildflower through the family. And she hates that story now, but it's still hilarious. Yeah, kid, we're getting very, very close to that age where like they're gonna say the cutest things ever. And
yes,
yeah, and it's like it's water in your hand. You think that's gonna be, you can hold on to it and drink from it, but it is so quick and then gone.
Yeah, no, we're holding on to these moments. We also after bath time, we play Coldplay, "All My Love," and we sing together. And I'd be remiss to say that I do have some tears in my eyes when we do that, because she'll sing it with me. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's good.
Shout out. Shout out, man.
When Daisy was
Good stuff.
Itty bitty, I would sing "My Friends Over You" by Newfound Glory to her to sleep. And it's like this, you know, very grungy punk rock song from the mid-2000s.
It's not a phase.
Not a phase. Not a phase. Well, you got anything with Newt, man?
No, I'm just living the dream. I feel like we finally got over most of the congestion that was eating us up. But shout out to humidifiers. Those things are awesome.
How old are we now? You're pushing 14
months this week.
Oh, so is he walking?
He's everything but walking. He like sprints in circles with the little walker thing, but he just won't. Like, he stood there by himself with like hardly any assistance, but he doesn't want to do it. He'll do it soon.
It's going to happen like tomorrow. And then
and
then that's
the big trust thing. It's just gonna,
it's over.
Yeah,
it's a wrap.
Running the offense. Before we get into like yelling at clouds, can I have a quick marriage corner? Are we good with that to proceed?
Run it.
You know the segment of Reddit that's like, "Am I the a-hole?" Where like it's people that are genuinely. They tell the story, they try to tell it objectively, and they're like, "Hey, I just want to know, like, was I wrong?" Basically. That's very funny. This is not one of those moments. This is me saying I was the a-hole.
Just self-report immediately.
Yeah, this is just a lot of like self-deprecation. So I had some like online work to do. That was a lot of like online modules and stuff. And we drove to Augusta to go to a friend's house this weekend. It was very cool. Anyway, it's like a 3-hour drive. Mad's like, "I'll drive so you can knock that out." I'm like, "Great." I'm a bad passenger. I usually, you know, at the draft this year, I drove the 15 passenger van. That's just kind of my control policy of my life. Like I like to be the driver. It's just kind of, I don't know, leadership quality, whatever you want to call it. Like I want to drive, or control freak, whatever. It's fine. Same thing. So I was raised on the, if you are driving, you want to leave about like 5 seconds between like the light pole or whatever, the exit sign that like the car in front of you is hitting, like count like slowly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And like when you hit 5, that's when you should hit that pole so that like you're not going to rear end to them. That was just how I was raised. Madison was not raised that way. It was much more of like, I've got these really super great brakes in my Nissan Xterra, so I'm going to count to like 2.5 and I'm right there. So like if I'm the passenger and anybody's driving, particularly my wife, and I look up, I get really panicked. I don't like that feeling. I start breaking the invisible brake with my right hand in the passenger, with my right foot in the passenger seat. Like, and she sees me like with my right hand, like do this like kind of contraction of like, golly. And like even getting off exits, I'm like, you could just. So I did the like, you know, I played the like, "I'm worried about my daughter's safety" card. That was wrong. Yeah, that was a bet, because she was like, she literally pulled the car over and was like, "Hey, if you're like really worried about this, do I need to go to like driving school? Do you want to drive?" And I like,
oh man,
We knocked the fight out and like took us 90 minutes to get from like A to Z. We were good.
Banged it out.
Had. But like, it was a good, we hadn't had like a good fight in a while, and that was, it felt good to get through one again. kind of like from beginning to from alpha to omega in just one fell swoop.
It's so good.
Well, I don't know if any of you can relate, but that was my Saturday.
Dude, that's so good.
This is very good.
Anybody else struggle if their wife's driving? Mad, you're a great driver, mother of my child. You do a great job. Love you.
Breaker of chains.
I married her in front
the
of
the unburned.
Would do it again.
No, I totally connect with that. I'm very similar. We've mentioned this plenty of time. One brain, two bodies. I have the same thing, but my self report is that my wife drives better than I do. Ooh. Honestly, when I'm driving and most of the time my brain is just completely focused on something else and I just happen to be in a motor vehicle that is moving forward.
Massive death machine.
Yeah, just a massive death machine. And no, it's not even like texting and driving. It's literally just like, man, I got to mow the grass today. If I don't mow it today, then tomorrow it's going to be too long and I need the growth pattern to be on the ground and under, not raising high. And then, oh, that was a red light. Jesus.
Like, that, so, that like, was the exit. Shoot. Crap.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it goes. So, no, I probably have some of those instances where I'm, you know, stimming out like, oh my God, but it's not even that bad. It's just like me doing
right.
it.
Right.
I'm definitely kind of same mind when it comes to like, that's my control thing is yeah. If I'm driving, then I'm good. I don't have to wait for, you know, whatever traffic thing sort itself out. Like I'm in charge. It's nice. Yeah. But I'm terrible as Austin experience of the draft. I'm terrible at texter and driver. I don't love that, but
there was only like two or three times that it popped up that you were like, because Justin would be like, is there anything that we
Justin
can do for
was
you?
Like ready to bite. He was just like the viper in the back, just like, get that phone out of your hands.
Justin is like the league dad. He's like, hey man, like
he was the Dave Ramsey meme.
Would you like a coconut water? Shout out, so Justin.
You mean to text somebody?
Well, I've been on a coconut water heater lately and it just thinks, yeah, no, I don't know. I have a, I'm not a good backseat driver, particularly with my wife or anybody, but yeah, my dad's a maniac. My dad drives literally 100 miles an hour, but I've experienced it since I'm a baby and I'm like, I feel safe in your arms, dad. So he's the one person.
Can you take me higher?
Golf time.
Sorry.
Dude, the women. How about that? This leads into my yell at cloud, which I'll save, but like 5-way playoff for the Chevron.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Can you break it down, Dwell?
I, you know, did not watch, but heard a lot of people were hitting into the structure around the 18th green. A lot of people just ejecting their bodies, their minds from trying to win. And then, you know, we got the winner. So it's weird. It's a major, but not a lot of confidence about it being a major. I'm gonna need to consult the email on that one. I did read about it. I learned a lot about it. Not a big name. Nelly Quarterfish.
Here's what was
no
wild.
Stop. I love that Dwell like goes. He gets ready to get into a segment. And he's like getting himself fired up to go into it, and then Brooks is like, "Hey, check out the motherfucker!" Like Dwell's like, "Dude, chill, man. Like, Daddy, I just wanted to talk about this. We didn't have to go crazier."
This was gonna be my yells at cloud. Was that okay? on my EMS, and we can hit back on the Zurich Classic. On my EMS rotation. Turns out, and I'm very thankful to first responders, this is not me hating. I just happened to be on a shift where, like, we did not go do a lot of stuff for the first 5 hours of my time there. So we're sitting all watching TV, literally in the break room for 5 hours. I'm like, all right, whatever. They have it on the ESPN 1, the original, and it's Get Up. And I don't watch Get Up, but it's literally Mike Greenberg being like, and I don't know why the Cleveland Browns did not take Shedeur Sanders in the first, like, terrible takes. And they all go around.
Not a bad like, Greenberg.
Thank you. And I realized that like sports is not like the main attraction of sports TV now is these personalities that are getting paid 10, 20 million. Like it is the Greenberg. It is the Stephen A. I mean, like Stephen A. and LeBron like had such a run. McAfee and LeBron had like it's the people giving me the information are then now more the story. And one guy, bless his heart, like walked out. He's like, I can't listen to this anymore. Everybody left. I'm like, great. I switched over to ESPN News, who still beats the good drum and does highlights Sports Center.
It's good to know.
Yeah. They showed thorough highlights. Didn't know that Kevin Gausman totally shoved. That was awesome to see. And then I found out about the Chevron. That made me feel like a kid again for the first time. I just put Get Up on ESPN News and like put Sports Center back where it belongs. Like just you have the easiest play ever where you could have won, like actually educated the public on what is happening in sports and not just beat the same four topics in a cyclical manner over and over and over again. It's a bad sign of how all news is cycled through now, like in all realms, like political, economic, sports. It's like the same four or five topics over and over and over again, where it's, if you just like gave us the information and gave us the swath of highlights and let the public educate themselves on what's going on, we would be a happier, smarter people, but we're not that anymore.
Well, it's all just like about who can yell the loudest and have like the most like energy around whatever it is they're saying, whether that's like anger or, you know, frustration or happy, like whatever it is. It's all just, you know, the version of screaming in your face kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. I totally agree, man. I don't know if it's like every 4 hours SportsCenter, but one of them that I caught, like it might have been Friday afternoon. It was the like, hey, this is what's happening in baseball. Here's what's like, it was a little bit more editorialized to where you were keeping up with things and you weren't just hearing people shout about nonsense. Like not everybody needs a take. Not every single person needs a take, coming from people who probably don't need to be giving takes right now. But
I don't need Booger's not every single take person on, to... like, you know, Anthony Davis. Like it just, those two things don't.
Yeah.
Don't
need to mix.
Yeah.
I think truly back to our childhood when Stuart Scott would just saunter us when we were getting ready to go to school and just give us the lowdown of what's happening in sports. This is what happened last night because you had to go to bed at 7, you know, and you were just a kid that just like ate every single bit of sports knowledge that you could possibly eat. And that was like the pinnacle of this ain't about clicks, baby. This is just about letting you know this web gym was bonkers and you got to talk to your friends about it.
And yeah. I watched the screen today. Like I don't like, even when it's on in the back, like when the talk shows are on in the background, my eyes are like not on the eyeballs of the advertisement that you're like wanting me to see. Like, I don't care. I'm trying to actively avoid you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad. It's sad. It's not going to change. And it's sad.
I wonder if kids, the next generation will be like deep into stats or like learning about old players or like that sort of thing, or if it's just going to be, you know, well, here's a take, but I don't know. That could just be an old man thing where no statistics and information has never been more accessible at the same time.
So. I hope it correct. Well, the problem is that it becomes so like, you know, niche and like, okay, if you want baseball highlights, you can go like do the daily MLB Network highlight show and like get it really well there if you want like every single baseball highlight. But Sports Center was like the best at showing, like they could show you every baseball highlight, they could do the hockey highlights, they could do, and like that's how you develop the personality of these anchors. That's how you like became close with your Kenny Maynes, your Linda Cones, your SVPs, your Stuart Scotts, John Anderson, like all these people that you like Ravitch. That's how you came to just like love these people, was that they gave you, they entertained you while telling you and informing you about sports. And that was the genius of ESPN. And they have taken a philosophical pivot away from that. Want to do some quick tweet of the weeks and get out of here?
Let's get in there.
Awesome. What you got?
The New England Patriots tweeted after their pick of Kobe Minor
from
Memphis
so
football. A minor deleted. In 13 seconds.
Oh my God. I mean, the mentions had to have been so fast, and the admin was just like, oh, no. Before they can screen grab it, and they screen grab it.
As someone who has tweeted for professional teams and collegiate teams, your heart was in the right place. Unfortunately, the VPs probably literally had a squirrel in their pants.
You don't think the sponsors didn't love that? Gillette wasn't like, oh man, yeah, let's promote. I do love that song because halftime of the Super Bowl this year, where we totally smacked the Chiefs.
You know, that's interesting. I had to take a second peek to see if their content was sponsored. This one wasn't. This one wasn't. Normally you, that is a packaged asset. Like, oh, you all would, your draft collateral Chris, is packaged.
Maybe brought it's to you by Michelin. Yeah.
I know Drake is suing and his label, or maybe Drake is suing his label and a number of other people because of that, like for defamation. But I mean, he's going to lose.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, tough. Mine is the Instagram of the week. I'm going to try this. If it doesn't work, I'm sorry. But hold on. Yeah, it's not going to work. But it was Cal Raleigh from the Mariners. Broke up with a fan. It was like, hey, Jack, it's not going to work out with Lindsay. If you need help moving your stuff, email bigdumper@mariners.com.
Oh my God.
And this was a DraftKings post. It is so funny. It is like, you can hear the last from the, I mean, brutal. Brutal.
Dude. That's like Brad delivers bad news. And have you seen that guy?
No. On what is this?
It's people randomly submit like him to call someone and deliver bad news. And so he films him sending in and he'll be like, hey, Brad, bad news. Just want to let you know that your boyfriend, he loves your sister more. So sorry. Loves your sister more. I'm Brad, just the messenger. All right, bye-bye. And he does these like all day.
He probably makes bank. See, that's one of those like the easiest businesses are simple businesses. Ice machines, car washes, just get in, get out, make your money. That dude just like, hey, send me your bad news and I'll read it.
And he does it like a champ, man. I'll send you the link. He's really funny.
That's really good. It's really good. Anything else?
I'll just say, mentioned earlier in the podcast, Jordan Lawler deserves to be in the majors. You ain't you jerk, man.
God. You gotta rip into it.
Stop. Another one. Okay. All right.
All right. We got Ketel Marte. Shohei, what's up? Is the Cardinals Pedro Pages, or is it it's not Pages, right? Pedro
it's Pages. Andy Pages.
But there's also a Pedro Pages.
I don't know if it's Pages or Pies.
But. Another Jake Cronenworth, great. Brooks Baldwin, Brendan Doyle, Joey Ortiz, Jose Berrios, shout out Seattle Mariners, whatever. Jacob Wilson, Manny Machado, Rafael Devers, and the ERA. Oh, no, the wins leader, Tyreek Skubal. Did you know Berrios had 16 wins last year? And my boy, Seth Lugo.
With a 4.27 ERA?
Yep, something like that. The magic of baseball.
Love it.
All right, cool.
It was a good one.
Episode 6, everybody. Love you guys.
Love you. Peace. She says she's no good with words, but I'm worse. But it started out a joke of a romantic stuck to my tongue. Way down with words too overdramatic. Tonight it's a can't get much worse. Worse no one should ever feel like. I'm two quarters and a heart now. And I don't want to forget how your voice sounds. These words are all I have.
Austin, what do you have to add about the business of medicine?
I mean, big takeaway is, you know, how about them Cowboys? You always fold just before you found out. Drink up, it's last call, last resort, but only the first mistake. I'm two quarters and a heart down, and I don't want to forget how your voice sounds. These words are all I have, so write them, so you need them just to get by. Dance, dance, we're falling apart to have time. Dance. Dwell, do yours again. Like, you're really excited about Rory winning.
This is unbelievable. I just can't contain myself.
Go down about a buck.
Okay.
The human skeleton requested a bank loan.
Go down like a buck and you're good. Try that one more time. Dwell.
Sorry, I had to turn myself into a dog.
Nassim Nunez. Harrison Bader. Garrett Crochet. Looking good.